Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I have ventured to do something a little bit different than what I've done before. You'll see over on the floor a podium, and on that podium are handouts that give some fill-in-the-blanks of the outline of the sermon. One of the parents a couple of weeks ago from our church asked me, for my child to pay attention, it would be really nice if there was something that he could follow along, and could you provide something? So that's going to be my goal every Sunday, to provide over on this podium, on the floor, just a one-sheet handout of fill-in-the-blanks of the outline. It's designed for the children, but something tells me that maybe some of the adults might not mind that as well. So it will not bother me if you make sure to grab one of those this morning. The passage of Scripture that we're going to be considering is Acts chapter 16, verses 31 to 40. Acts chapter 16, verses 31 to 40. As we prepare our hearts for what we're going to be talking about this morning, there's a passage of Scripture that is very familiar to you, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." My heart's goal this morning is to speak the gospel faithfully, truthfully, and in accordance to God's word. As you can see from the title of the sermon, what we're going to be talking about this morning is part two from what we started last week of part one, and that is true heart repentance. True heart repentance. What we're going to be seeing this morning is what it looks like to be actually truly repentant before God, and also conversely, as Acts so often does, what does it look like to not be truly repentant in your heart? Luke gives this dichotomy to us often. This is what true godliness looks like. This is what true faithfulness looks like. And then this is what it doesn't look like. And it gives us these two differences in the narrative here in the story. And we're going to see as we conclude the story of this jailer that had been the jailer over Paul and Silas, we're going to see that he demonstrates to us first what true repentance looks like. But then we're going to see a group of people who conversely demonstrate to us what false repentance looks like. As we prepare our hearts to read these verses, let me just ask one question that is meant to be a little bit of a driving home awkward question for us. It was for me as I considered it leading up to this sermon. This is a rhetorical question, so please don't answer it out loud. You'll embarrass yourself, I think, if you would. Has there ever been a moment, a time or a situation in your life where you've met someone, you've been around someone, or you've thought about someone and you've looked down upon that person? You've thought yourself better than them because perhaps they don't measure up to some sort of standard that you have said is acceptable. Perhaps it's the way they dress, perhaps it's the way they talk, perhaps it's the way they look, or perhaps it's because they have not met a standard of moral or ethical things that you think they should have done. Someone that you know in your life, at a time in your life, where you've looked on them and you've thought yourself better than them. I think if we're all being honest with ourselves this morning, and we're in church, so we need to be honest with ourselves, each one of us fall into this category, without any exception. Each one of us knows what it's like to think more highly of ourselves than we ought, and to think lower of other people than we ought. What we're going to see in these passages of Scripture as we consider the notion of true repentance versus false repentance is that what Scripture helps us to see